speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
If you have your Bible handy, turn to 2 Timothy, please. The first chapter, beginning verse 7, we'll be reading through verse 13 of Paul's second epistle, rather, to the young man Timothy. What an important thing it is to be associated with Paul. And I know of no one who did more except the Lord himself for the spread of the cause of Christ than did the Apostle Paul. And how wonderful to know that we have the benefits of his teaching, that we can know the things which the early churches knew as they were strengthened in faith and built up in the most holy faith. And Paul says here in verse 7 of 2 Timothy 1, "For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. Be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but suffer hardship with the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before times eternal, but hath now been manifested by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher, for which cause I suffer also these things, yet I'm not ashamed, for I know him whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold the pattern of sound words which thou hast heard from me, and in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, guard through the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us." These are beautiful verses. Indeed, they bring before our minds so many things necessary to living the Christian life, to being strong and faithful in the Lord. First of all, he tells us God gave not a spirit of fearfulness to these people. He didn't give us a spirit of timidity. He didn't give us a spirit of cowardice. You know, the wicked flee when no man pursues, the Old Testament says, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. So when trials come, Christians are bold. They're not fearful of what they may suffer. They know that there is some suffering to go on in this life, but they're not timid about truth. They do not apologize for faithfully proclaiming the truth. And he has given us the spirit of fearfulness, and also the power and love and discipline. Well, of course, discipline is necessary, and training and teaching and doing the things that God has given us. Our love for God and for his cause gives us energy. And then again, he talks about the power, meaning here the courage to live for him who died for us. So when we think about this, Paul is putting down what Christianity is all about. And we should never claim to be ashamed of him. We have a lot to be ashamed of ourselves, but we have nothing to be ashamed of nor to apologize for our Lord and for his teaching. So as we think along this line, Paul said, suffer the hardship with the gospel according to the power of God, or sustained by the power of God. When we have the gospel in our hearts and we're sustained by it, then we continue to be faithful and strong because he saved. And he said he called us also with a holy calling. 2 Thessalonians 2 says he called us by the gospel, verse 14. And therefore we know that the gospel is God's power to save those who will hear it and obey it. But it wasn't according to our works. It wasn't because we deserved it. It wasn't because we merited that salvation. But it was his own purpose and grace and his love for us, which is in Christ Jesus. And that purpose was made before the world began. Did you know it? You're sitting here today because of a plan that was made before the world began. Can you imagine that? God, of course, is beyond our fathom of thinking. And he could project these things before him in the future without ever any problem. He knew about you. He knew about me. He knew of our lost condition. And he made the plan of salvation and the way of salvation in Christ before the world began in his thinking. Now, those things weren't revealed before the world began. In Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, though, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law. And what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. by sending His own Son to die for us. So God's plan of salvation, His knowledge of things that were coming, shows that He is God. And He says here that it wasn't because we deserved it, but it was because He purposed it and planned it before the world began. And so what a wonderful thing to know that this is not just something come lately, that God just came along and said, well, man sinned, what are we going to do? God had an interest and a love for man, a concern for him before the world began. He made His creature, and yet He also had the foreknowledge to know that man would sin. He didn't force him into sin. He's not a puppet in the hand of God. God doesn't make anybody sin. But He can know that it's coming. He can know our weaknesses. He can know the temptations that Satan cast before Him. And He knew we were going to need a plan of salvation. So before the world began, He purposed these things before times eternal. But now it has been manifested. Though it was not revealed then, it's now manifested or revealed by us, the Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Before He proclaimed this, we didn't know about it. We didn't know God's plan until it was revealed. But now that it is revealed, we can know fully the things which Jesus did. He abolished death, which means He took away its power. He overcame death. Death had always held everybody until that time, except those who were raised by our Lord. But when He came out of Hades, He broke the bonds of death. He abolished the power of death. And He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He revealed these things to us that we did not formerly know. So Paul says in verse 12, for which cause I suffer all of these things. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed at all because I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that one who is able to pre-plan these things and bring them out as Christ has done by the power of God, I'm not ashamed, nor do I need persuading that He's able to guard that which I've committed unto Him against that day. What is it He wants Him to guard? Well, His life. You know, in Him we live and move and have our very being. He wanted Him to guard His body, because we belong to Him, both body and soul. He wanted Him to guard His soul, because that's the greatest thing any man possesses. And He wanted Him to guard His life or His spirit. And that is a wonderful thing too. So I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Now He said, you hold the pattern of sound words. Here's what God's responsibility is in saving us. Here's what our responsibility is in saving us. We've got to hold the pattern of sound words. Oh, there's some who claim we don't have any pattern. Oh, yes, we do. We have the pattern of sound words. Sound simply means healthy. If you have a sound body, you've got a healthy body. So here's the pattern of sound, healthy words that are revealed to us because Christ brought to light in the gospel all things that were needful to us, and we're to hold on to those things. In other words, what He is saying to us, hold and teach sound doctrine. Now, doctrine is certainly teaching, and that's all it is. But He says, the doctrine you're to hold is what you've heard from Me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. He didn't say, it's all originating with Me. But of course, as He said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye imitators of Me, as I also am of Christ. So Paul would not have you follow Him in anything, except that which He had followed Christ in. That the good thing which He committed unto thee, guard thou through the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. Well, the Holy Spirit revealed the truth, the pattern of sound words. And therefore, when that pattern dwells within us, so does the Holy Spirit's guidance come to us. We are to be filled with the Spirit. We are to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, meaning the same thing. So when we see these verses, do you know in whom you have believed? John said in 1 John 2, verse 3 through 6, hereby do we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. And he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. And he says, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought also himself to walk, even as He walked. So we learn some things here in addition to what we've learned from 1 or 2 Timothy 1. First of all, the way we know that we know the Lord. How do we know that we know Him? How do we know, as we sang a moment ago, what a friend we have in Jesus? Are you truly the Lord's friend? Well, if you hold fast the pattern of sound words and you walk in harmony with His will, yes, you are His friend. Because in John 15:14, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, there are many people who say, "Well, I love the Lord," but they don't keep His commandments. There are those who say, "Yes, I'm on the Lord's side," but they've never obeyed the gospel. And they've never lived faithfully the Christian life. Well, John's talking to those. How do we know if a man is a true friend of the Lord? Well, if he keeps his commandments, isn't it? Because here he said, a man who says, "I love him and know him, and do not keep his commandments is a liar." He is not a true friend. Don't you wish John would make things plain? Don't you wish the Holy Spirit would make it plain? Oh boy, that's pretty plain, isn't it? He's a liar. That's something you wouldn't say to very many people, is it? "Sir, you are a liar." Why are you a liar? Because you say you love the Lord, and you're a friend of the Lord, and you won't do what He says. In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command you?" Well, some say, "I love the Lord, but I don't want to do what His Word says." But that's the way you show your love for the Lord. And that's the way that love is perfected in you. It is completed in you by your love for the Word of God. And it is through that that you are to live or walk even as He walked. So we're to walk in His steps, aren't we? Now, if a man say, "I love him and keep not his commandments," he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But how beautiful this song we've just sung, "I Know in Whom I Have Believed." These men who wrote this song, of course, L. Nathan and James McGranahan, these songwriters doubtless knew closely what Paul had said. And they must have fallen in love with the words of Paul. "I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Indeed, though Paul at one time believed in and prayed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as he dwelt in Judaism, he believed during that time that Jesus Christ was not who he claimed to be. He believed that Jesus Christ was an imposter, and he taught it to us. He would not teach them that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He would not teach them that he was the Savior of the world, but he was convinced on the Damascus Road that indeed what the Lord claimed was true, because he thought he was still in the grave. He didn't believe that he could be resurrected, and yet Jesus, when he asked the question, "Who art thou, Lord?" said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." You know, he was told to go into the city, and there it would be told him what he must do. Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26 give the conversion scene of the Apostle Paul, who was formerly called Saul. In Acts 22:16, there the certain disciple said to him, "Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now, the Lord's authority was his directive. And without that authority, he could not have claimed a connection to Christ. Well, the same is true with us today. We cannot claim connection to one in whom we do not believe. And you know, from that time forward, Paul unfailingly and unfalteringly preached Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the Almighty God in heaven, the blessed Son of God. He said, "I know in whom I have believed," when he wrote to Timothy. "I don't have any doubt about whom I have believed. It has been completely given to me, revealed to me. I have seen, touched, felt, and know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." How thrilled we are to sing this song, "I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that." And you know, for centuries now, people who have faithfully served the Lord have delighted to sing that song. Some slight changes have been made in the song to correct some errors. And I noticed in our book that all of them haven't been corrected. But its meaningful words correctly say, in harmony with the Scriptures, "I know not why God's wondrous grace to me hath been made known, nor why, unworthy, Christ in love redeemed me for his own. I know just how the saving faith to me he did impart, and how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days, before his face I see. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fare. Nor will I walk the veil with him, but I will meet him in the air. And then the chorus says, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Well, we need to ask and answer that question ourselves. In whom do we believe? In whom do we trust? You know, on our money, we have the little slogan that says, in God we trust. Do we really? I know a lot of people who carry that money who do not entrust in God. They do not believe that God is. They do not believe that he is to be served. And some in our world think it doesn't make any difference whether they believe in God or believe in Christ at all. They don't think it makes any difference who or what they believe. My friends, it makes all the difference in the world whether you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Sometimes I think we start teaching people before we give them the basic. Until you have faith in Christ, you're not going to keep the things that he has said. You're not going to believe what he has commanded. You're not going to see any importance in doing the things which are given by the authority of Christ. Oh, I know there are even those who, unknown to us, maybe and unknown to them, who just simply call whatever they think it might be out there in the space, the force. They say, you know, we believe in the force. Well, you may believe in the force and not believe in Jesus Christ. You may believe in the force and still be an atheist. You may not believe in God. Oh, you believe there's something out there, but you acknowledge you don't know what it is. And you further acknowledge that your ignorance of the Bible is already there, and you're not going to believe in him. Or even one or more of a multitude of idolatrous gods that have a multitude of names. You know, as I've stated before from this pulpit, man's going to worship something. And if he doesn't worship the only true and living God, and if he doesn't serve the Son of God, then who is he serving? It'll be something else, or it'll be someone else. It may be four-footed beast or creeping things. But the Bible, however, makes it abundantly clear that the message of truth delivered by the Holy Spirit must be believed in order to be saved. And that, of course, has as its central message Jesus Christ, the Son of God. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said in verse 1, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which ye received, wherein you stand, and by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, how that he was buried, how that he arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Well, for one to truly believe in God, he or she must believe in Jesus. You can't believe in God and not believe in his Son and still be saved. So, he shows us the Father. You remember Jesus said in John 14, verse 6 and 7, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But he said, if you had known me, you should also know my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and you have seen him. Well, now, wait a minute. I thought we walked by faith and not by sight. That's right. But Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, what did they see when they saw Jesus? They saw principles of truth. And when they saw those principles of truth, they saw the same principles God taught. And they saw that which God stood for. And so when he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Then you may know in whom you have believed. You may know God through the face of his Son. But then this songwriter wrote also about his wondrous grace, even as Paul talks so much about. Oh, it is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's wondrous to know the favor of God extended to man and planned before the time began. And we should rejoice that God has made known unto us the wondrous grace that he offers. Now, where did he reveal this? Well, Christ brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, it says. And this is God's wondrous grace. Paul implied to the Ephesian church that one, if he was ever saved at all, from his sins would be by the grace of God. And indeed it's true with us. In Ephesians 2:5, he said, For by grace have you been saved. In Ephesians 2:8 through 10, he said, For by grace have you been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, that grace not of yourselves, but is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which ye afore prepared, that we should walk in them. In Hebrews 2:9, The Hebrew writer said, but we see Christ, who's made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and with honor. Now listen to this, that by the grace of God he might taste death or experience death for every man. So I know that without the grace of God we cannot be saved. Our God intended for men to be saved who were lost in the world. And he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son, he continues in verse 17, into the world to condemn the world. Not the first time he didn't. But the word that the world through him might be saved. He sent him the first time to be our Savior. He'll send him a second time to condemn those who rejected him. And so that's what he's talking about here. But look at his love. Look at his grace. His unmerited favor. His never dying love, his pity for lost mankind. It's all shown in the gospel toward fallen man. And we'll never be able to fathom, I know, the fullness of the grace of God. We will never be able to see the fullness of it. And yet, some reason, he has made it known to us as much as we are able to understand. So here the songwriter said, I don't know why. We may never understand why the wondrous grace of God is shown, but we're delighted that it is. He said, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. No, I don't know that. Why did he redeem me? Why did he buy me back and pay the ransom? Well, I know Titus 2:11 and 12 says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Not knowing why God's wondrous grace has been given doesn't mean we can't know how it's given. And that's something that we need to be sure this song states correctly. We do know how God's wondrous grace has been given. It's been given through the Word of God. We may not know how it is given in the sight of Almighty God, but we know how it is given to us, and we also know how we can appropriate it through His Son to the enjoyment of the blessings of life eternal. Why, Hebrews 5:8 and 9 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and he became the author of eternal salvation to all who will obey him. Do we know how God's grace is appropriated to us? Sure. By obedience to his will. And if we say we're his friends and don't obey him, then we're liars, John said, and the truth is not in us. We need to believe in the word, then, that Christ left us. That all-sufficient word of God is the medium through which the Holy Spirit convicts, converts, and sanctifies. In John 16:7, he, when he has come, will convict the world in respect of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment. And in Acts 2, we learn how he did that. When the apostles preached that powerful gospel guided by the Holy Spirit, well, they were pricked in their hearts, and they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter and the rest of the apostles said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Now, there's the word that Paul said was powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12, that thoroughly furnishes us unto every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that Paul said he wasn't ashamed of, Romans 1:16 and 17, because it was the power of God unto salvation, and which Peter said in 2 Peter 1:3, by his divine power he hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The psalmist said, the opening of thy word giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple, and blessed is the man who doesn't sit down or walk or talk with those who are scoffers and sinful people, but his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and upon his law doth he meditate day and night. The Holy Spirit does not work in conviction, conversion, and sanctification in any direct manner today, in any mysterious way. If you're expecting that, my friends, you need to know that obedience is what you need. You need to hold fast the pattern of sound words and do it. You need to obey that which he has given. That causes us to sing how, believing in his word, God wrought peace within my heart. And you know, all have to see God's providence. God's providential care means he provides for us. It is that which shows his protection, his providence, his care for his people. And these great blessings that are shown here are seen, of course, throughout the Old and the New Testament. God's providence has always worked. Now today, God's providence is not miraculous. It does not work through some miraculous means to you, but it works through the Word of God and through the natural law. And though we delight in the fact stated in the Bible that He cares for the whole world, we do remember that He cares for the birds and the lilies of the field, Matthew 6, and that He should not be forgotten for these things. Men oftentimes forget His blessings, those especially on a daily basis, and many are not aware of the fact, or even forget, that He's not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. Now that's all providential in the fact that we might learn the truth and walk in the truth and live by the truth. And we know in humble, faithful obedience we can depend upon Him. That songwriter said, I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me. Of weary days weary ways or golden days before His face I see, but I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. That day, what day? The day of judgment. John 12:48 says, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. But by trusting in His promises and providence, we know that He's going to take care of us even after this life. With Jesus as our shepherd, caring for us, seeing to us, assuring us that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, Psalms 23:6. And when the Lord makes the promise, in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall return again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and whither I go, you may know the way. I am the way, He said, the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's a beautiful song, isn't it? Beautiful sentiment expressed in the Scriptures. I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Do you? Do you know the Lord? Do you know His will in your life? Are you doing it? Are you disobedient or obedient? You know, you make that determination. If you're obedient, you hear His word, all of it. You believe it with all of your heart. You repent of the sins of your life. You confess the name of Christ with your mouth before men. And you desire to be buried with your Lord in baptism to wash away your sins. That's the plan that was made by God before the world began. And it's the plan in which you can say, the Lord gave it, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I hope that you are persuaded this morning, not almost persuaded, but altogether persuaded, to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Know the God of our creation. Know that His Son is the Savior of the world. Confess that faith before men. You can do that this morning. You can say, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can be buried with your Lord in baptism and arise to walk in newness of life. And you can trust in that Lord to always care for you. And even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. And you can say, I know Him who is the way, truth, and the life. And I know the only way I can come to the Father is but by Him. So if this morning that is your desire, we would be more than happy to assist you in your obedience to the gospel. If you've obeyed the gospel and then wandered away, where do you hope to go? Where could you go except to the Lord? And return to Him in whom you have believed. Return to faithfulness in His service and live for Him who died for you, that you may live for Him here and live with Him after this life is over. If you're subject, will you come while together with